There's a change happening in the way we live, the way we work, the way we spend our money and make our decisions. We are evolving to be more conscious in our actions in a way that serves the world and makes it a better place. Welcome to The Ethical Evolution. The Ethical Evolution podcast is brought to you by the Ethical Change Agency. I'm Bindi, CEO and founder, and I am honoured to bring you the stories of those who create change through paying it forward and giving back. Ethical business owners and holistic healers who are determined to create collective change in the world. Once we have a change in consciousness and through collective change, we can become one. My next guest was introduced to me by an agency in Western Australia doing great work on telling the stories of change makers. This alignment couldn't have been more right. Marty McGinty is the Managing Director of Matter, an Australian green tech startup on a mission to empower people and communities to track, manage, and reduce their waste footprint. Using real-time data, Matter's patented smart sensor technology and user apps provide smart cities, councils, businesses, and homes with the information required to minimise landfill, improve recycling, and enable better choices when it comes to waste. Just like we have meters for our gas, water, and electricity usage, now we have a meter for our waste. Importantly, the sensor technology is the first product in Australia available at a size and cost to roll out across entire communities, meaning the opportunities for collective environmental impact are huge. The company is currently seeking investment to grow the business and expand its reach and impact. Please feel welcome to check them out at www.matter.city for more information. Welcome, Marty, to The Ethical Evolution.
Hi there. Hi, Bindi. Thanks for having me.
You're most welcome. Now, you're coming to us from Perth this evening. And can you tell us about what you do and who you are?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm the managing director of a company called Matter. And what Matter does is that we've developed some hardware that enables us to measure our waste. And we've developed an IoT sensor that enables us to measure our waste. And the act of measuring waste at a personal level is something that's been missing for a long time, because we know what gets measured gets managed. And we understand that there's a huge problem around, you know, the amount of waste that we're producing as a society, and the impact that that's having on the planet that we leave for future generations. So Matter's brought out a sensor that enables us to create a feedback loop and understand how much waste and quantify how much waste we are putting out each week, so that we can sort of analyze that and sort of make some better decisions around reducing landfill and improving our recycling.
That sounds awesome. So is that at a household level, Marty, or is that at a community level?
Yeah, it's interesting that you've used the word community. We've started off actually in public spaces. So in public space, and the reason we've started in public spaces is that the councils are really the people who we want to drive this. Their initial focus is in the public spaces, the parks, the beaches, and the town centres. There's a bit of an efficiencies sort of play for them around, you know, not having to, so they can sort of get the data back that says, okay, you know, these bins aren't full, so we don't need to go to them. So there's an efficiencies play for them there. But also the stuff around safety, so they're not stopping trucks next to big parks. They're not having fleets of trucks out when they don't need to be, and they can sort of create sort of more appealing public spaces and tidier public spaces. So we've started off there because it was a sort of fairly well understood requirement and sort of market need that the councils have. But we're really using that as a springboard to where we see our kind of true purpose and our sort of North Star, which is actually using this data to be able to reduce our landfill at a household yeah. level. And I suppose that's the sort of purpose that's driving us is to move into that space.
So what would you say that your mission is then, Marty, to, you know, from a household level or from a community level?
Our mission is to change the way that the world manages its waste forever,
yep.
by putting a sensor in every bin. And that ties into our why or our purpose, which is to reduce landfill and the associated greenhouse gas emissions to preserve the planet for future generations. So what we're about is ultimately landfill reduction.
Mm-hmm.
And as a sort of close second is helping improve recycling as well.
Yeah. So let's say, we reach a point where I've got one of these sensors on my wheelie bin here at home that the council collects. What kind of efficiencies could we see in one household?
Yeah, okay. So what we're really targeting is providing you with a feedback loop. So if I asked you the question of how much landfill did you put out last year?
I'd have no idea.
You'd have no idea. And the fact is nobody's got any idea of how much landfill they put out last year. So here we are trying to address a problem
yep.
that we actually can't quantify.
Mm.
So there'll be weigh bridges and stuff like that it goes to, but that doesn't mean anything to you. You don't know how you're performing.
Yeah.
You don't know if you've made a real conscious effort to perhaps, you know, look at the packaging that you're using and recycle more. Maybe scrape the peanut butter out the jar before you recycle it. But ultimately, you're not sure of the impact that's having.
Mm.
So that's the sort of starting point for our sort of proposition, is that we put that infrastructure in, and then people can have an app and a feedback loop that says, okay, I did 50 litres of landfill waste last week. Let's try and get down to 45. Let's try and get down to 40. So there's that sort of gamification around reducing your personal waste.
Yeah.
So that's really how we that's really the sort of proposition that we're targeting is to look at putting the infrastructure or the base infrastructure in place to enable that to happen, and what that can lead to is the other sort of really important sort of aspects that we need to bring in. So it starts with the sensors, but we need to have the feedback loop with the data, and we need education. So people want to do the right thing, but oftentimes they don't know what the right bin is. And then the sort of big missing piece in this is the incentivization. So a lot of people will want to do that right thing, but other people will say, okay, well, what's in it for me? Mm. Is it a reduction in rates? Or is it, some token that I can spend in the community or something that I can use to as an incentive. So that's kind of the premise of what we're trying to do is to stitch together the idea of the base infrastructure, which is the sensors, with the data and the app and the education and the incentives, and collectively we think that forms the sort of holy grail, if you like, for all the things that we need to pull together to ultimately achieve our purpose, which is to reduce landfill on a mass level.
That's brilliant. I love it. And, when we look at, other household consumption, we look at our electricity meters, we look at our gas meters, we look at those kind of things, we get those bills. And, each month or each quarter, I know I'm like, oh, I think I want to bring that down a little bit next time. Waste is no different, really, is it? It's one of those things that we want to try and reduce as well, because it is a consumable thing that does impact the planet. But, like you've said, gamifying that or incentivizing that would be brilliant. Imagine if we could get a discount on our rates, if we could keep it below a certain level.
Yeah, we very much see that as the missing piece, that incentivization and sort of the validation that you get for saying, actually, I'm trending in the right direction here. We understand that and most people are starting to sort of understand that, you know, it's not just like flushing something down the toilet and we don't care where it goes. Everything that we consume, everything that we purchase, everything that we buy, has to end up somewhere. And if we can recycle that or create circular economic effects from that's fantastic. But there's so much of what we buy that ends up in landfill, and it contains toxins. It has leachate, which gets into the water, and creates methane, particularly around the organics, can create methane, which is 25 times sort of more harmful than CO2 to the atmosphere. So there's a real sort of global warming and climate change aspect to this as well, and that's the sort of this is our North Star that we're working towards is to tackle that problem.
And I think it's interesting, I know you and I were just chatting off air about the impacts of COVID-19 on both of us. And I think one of the benefits, I think, of this time in our history is that our environment's taken a bit of a breather just because we're not out making a mess. But I think, you know, waste is still happening while we're in isolation at home. So this is a time now where we can really focus on this stuff and be very aware and conscious of what we consume.
Yeah, it's interesting. So the COVID has a pandemic has really made us it's made us forget, you know, almost that there was a period in January where we had all these bushfires in Australia. A lot of it was coming as a result of the sort of various climate change and climate impacts that are culminating. And COVID's kind of got in the way of that. And I think very quickly we'll realise that, you know, that hasn't gone away. But one of the things, and again, we were seeing it off air, was that during the sort of pandemic period, as we've been locked down, we've sort of reconnected with our communities. We've reconnected with our neighbours in a way that was just in our busy lives kind of lost in many respects. I think a lot of people are doing that. Our school did a thing which was a Mother's Day, you know, Mother's Day just gone, whereby they gave dads the opportunity to go to local businesses. So other school parents had local businesses and actually buy a Mother's Day present from a florist or from an Italian restaurant, and there was other sort of options. And again, there's this appetite for, I think, is where we're reconnecting within your communities.
Yeah.
And that's definitely something that we want to sort of piggyback on, because again, part of that incentivization thing is around the council being able to issue incentives for waste reduction. And you know, part of that could be maybe tokens or points that can only be spent at local businesses within the community. So that's another aspect of how we think this could work. It doesn't have to be financial reward. It could be, it could be local discounts. It could be reduction or a contribution towards paying it forward on your, carbon offset for when you start flying again. There's a whole sort of ways that we could generate the rewards. For what we're producing from waste reduction. So. Yeah, we're pretty excited about stitching all this together.
Yeah, it's such an opportunistic time, isn't it, despite what's going on? Now, I'm interested to know what kind of impact you've made so far.
So it is an early stage for us, and I sort of mentioned that we've got our, I think we've got three trials under our belt at the moment, so particularly around those sort of public space areas. So the impacts that we've made in those trials, we ran a study of one of our first trials, which showed that 81% of bin attendances by a waste collector were unnecessary. So there's an impact there, and like I say, so we're putting trucks out, we're putting fleet out, we're putting you know, there's a whole bunch of associated efficiencies that we can make. So we're focused on that at the moment. I suppose that's the biggest impact that we've made, is to reduce the number of bin attendances and have some, you know, tidier spaces. But we really are, you know, we really are interested in moving into that next frontier for us, which is the residential side of things.
So what's your time frame on that? When do you think that's going to start?
Yeah, we've been, believe it or not, we kind of wanted to spend in the next 12 months just sort of building those relationships with councils. But it was in talking to them about our sort of greater goal that they asked us to bring that forward.
Yeah.
So we didn't expect to sort of be addressing that until probably another 12 months down the track. But there are councils who we've been speaking to who want to kind of come to the party early and say, right, can we do a trial on this with council employees, and can we actually get this going? So we're using that as an opportunity to get them involved in the sort of ideation and design process around the sort of early stages of the app, and get their sort of buy-in, so that we're sort of co-developing that with some of the pioneering councils. So we intend to be doing sort of pilots in the residential sense in the second half of this year.
Excellent. And my big question though for you, Marty, is, are you going to go global with it?
It's funny. Our purpose is to change the way that the world manages its waste.
Yeah.
We can't just do that. We can't just do that here in Australia. In order to scale, we need to have our processes right here. We need to have our team right here. You know, we're at the stage whereby we're getting everything in place. I'm the type of person that I love to, you know, I'd love, you know, to go up to Singapore and chat to them about what they're doing and you know, go over to the States, because there's so many opportunities in this sort of area. But we're sort of having that self-discipline at the moment to get it right here and sort of be able to tell the story of the impact that it's had. But it's worth sort of reflecting on the fact that behaviour change doesn't happen overnight.
Mm.
You know, this is something, we're playing the long game here. We know the sort of levers that we're trying to pull around data, feedback loops, incentivization, and you know, there's loads of studies on the fact that those are the ingredients that you need for behaviour change.
Mm-hmm.
But understanding that doesn't happen overnight, and we want to start to really prove the concept, but certainly get some results here before we move into our other markets.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you reckon has been your biggest challenge in, you know, putting this together, and how have you overcome it?
Yeah, okay. So as I was just saying, I think that idea of trying to activate behaviour change on a mass scale is definitely the big sort of hairy, audacious goal that we've got is how do we do that? It's a core service. Waste collection and waste processing is a core service that hasn't changed, you know, sort of radically in decades.
Mm.
So the big challenge is definitely going to be sort of activating that on a broad scale level. But like I say, the buy-in from councils has probably been more positive than what we'd have thought at this stage. You know, they're actually wanting to climb on board, and councils are really we see them as the sort of conduit.
Yeah.
You know, we're not selling sensors to, you know, households.
Mm.
It's the value proposition for what they're doing is predicated on, you know, what the council are going to get from it. So it actually costs the average council in Australia about $200 per tonne.
Yep.
For every bit of landfill that they've got to pay the state government.
Yep.
A levy. As well as obviously the costs associated with operating a landfill.
Yeah.
So clearly what we're trying to tap into there is some savings for the council, whereby, you know, we calculated that if we can reduce landfill by only 10% for every one of our sort of customers or households, if you know, the net effect of, you know, having the app, having the gamified thing, trying to get your own score down, trying to do the right thing, and having other incentives, if the net effect of all of that is a 10% reduction in landfill, then the council would actually break even on the sort of cost of rolling out the technology, even on scale. So, and then you've got the environmental benefits as well. And you've got there's a lot of policy out there at the moment around collecting better data for waste and stuff like that. So what's happening into the council at various levels. And I think when you sort of combine that, that's why it's quite compelling. It's quite compelling sort of prospect for them. So it's difficult, and there's a lot to be changing, but there's appetite, and that's why we're quite excited to be at this stage of the journey.
Yeah, that's mind-blowing. Just 10% can make that much of an impact. Imagine if you got it down to like 30.
That's the idea. It's, marginal gains, I think we saw that with the Keep Cups. And the Placky Bag charges at Coles and Woolies. You know, it only takes a small sort of a small change to have a big sort of impact.
Yeah, I love it. So, when you were talking about bringing that waste down and having gamification, the thing that was coming into my head was like, people would almost have an ethical score, which makes me want to ask you, what does being ethical mean to you?
Yeah, that's a pretty profound question. I think it's going to vary person by person. But for me, it's about your gut, and listening to your conscience.
Yes.
And sort of trusting your gut. In the context of kind of the business world, I believe strongly in treating people the way you want to be treated yourself, and particularly around. If things aren't going so well and there's been problems, you have to be transparent with the customers around what's happening, and if you sort of front up and sort of be transparent and ethical and open and honest with them, then that's an absolutely critical factor. The other thing, I suppose, in the startup land, is you get a lot of help from people. So anyone listening to this who's sort of at the early stages of a startup, it's worth remembering that people do want to help, and there is a lot of help out there. So the ethical sort of part of that, I would say, is remember the people, remember the people who helped you along the way.
Absolutely.
And try and find your own, you might not be able to pay them or sort of financially reciprocate that, but sort of bear that in mind, and if things do turn out well for you, make sure that you don't forget who helped you get there.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I can so agree with you on that answer. So what are your future plans? I know you were saying that you're looking at, spreading into the residential sector through councils. I mean, how far do you want to see this go?
Yeah, good question. It goes back to the community side of things. So we, at the moment, we reckon that for the resident, we can create that sort of, create the conditions that are going to activate them and make them kind of want to care, that they can reduce the landfill. But the idea that I was sort of mentioning is that, we've got to activate sort of pockets of, it's a real community driven sort of thing. So we've got to sort of activate pockets of the community. And one of the, if we're talking about future plans, one of the things that we're looking at is how do we create that sort of community focus for waste reduction? And part of that was around, rewarding people, and the funding is there to do that. Rewarding people who do manage to reduce their waste by giving them points that can be spent in local businesses around the suburb and within the council. So I would say that's definitely the next area of focus for what we're doing, and taking that sort of waste reduction piece and then figuring out, okay, how can we take that and address sort of other problems or other opportunities that exist within different councils.
Yeah, and it just makes me think as well, what kind of impact do you think it would have on the state schemes like Containers for Change, where people actually take in recyclables for money?
Yeah, look, that's all part of it, and I suppose where we'd likely to be going with the app is to provide a sort of hub, a community hub for all of these things to sort of come together. So, for example, if there's a local e-waste company who says, right, on next Wednesday we're going to go around your suburb and we're looking for old keyboards that you don't use anymore or don't work, you know, we're going to come and collect them. So that idea that we could provide a portal for all of these different things. So there might be e-waste, it might be, you know, coffee pods another day, and there's these people. So sort of bringing that and facilitating that process within communities and providing a portal for all of these sort of things to come together. That would probably be that.
Yeah, that'd be great. I've got a bit of e-waste here I need some help with.
Yeah, I think everyone's got that drawer, don't they? They've only got a drawer that's got all the wires in it and stuff like that. So, like we said, you know, you don't flush them down the toilet. You know, they have to go somewhere. Mm. And we know some good e-waste sort of companies around who are making big waves in that space. So there are huge number of sort of community-driven and community-focused initiatives that are probably looking for this idea of a hub to coordinate with the council all of these activities. And that's something that's scalable. You know, if we can sort of create the cookie-cutter approach for all of these waste reduction and circular economic and recycling initiatives to sort of come together and coordinate with the home, we think that's something that have a really powerful impact.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Love it. So if people want to find out more about what you do, Marty, and how they could get involved in supporting Matter, where could they go?
Yeah, okay. So we feel that we want to take everyone on a journey. So we want to recognise that, we want to get the message out there that the status quo is not good enough. You know, if we keep going the way we're going and we keep the numbers keep going in the wrong direction, we really are not going to leave the planet in a good state for future generations. At the moment, and we're working with councils, you know, so we're not selling sensors to homes. So I suppose keep an eye out to see, you know, and participate in pilots with your councils would probably be a good one. And the other thing that we've sort of personally done just kicking off within the team at the moment is using stuff like worm farms.
Oh, yeah.
So you know, you can buy these worm farms pretty cheap from the likes of Bunnings, and it's a real fun activity to set up your worm farm, and to, you know, if you've got kids, you know, you can put your scraps and your organic matter into that, and eventually that can create some really nice compost for your garden or for your plant pots. So that's something that we are kicking off within the team at the moment, is just to kind of walk our talk, and there's pretty big impact there. You know, around 50% of the stuff that we put in the bins is organic, for those of us who don't have sort of specific organic bins yet within our sort of bin setup.
Yeah.
So that's another way that we're looking to get the education message out there and let people know that there are these things that people can do that are actually good fun and really can contribute to a positive environmental outcome.
Yeah, so I think the easier we can make it for people to recycle and to reuse and compost and all those kind of things, it's just going to make this whole thing work a lot easier, I think. I know, you know, for some people it's just too much effort and they just can't be bothered. So I think the easier we can make it, the better it'll be.
Sure.
So my big question for you, Marty, is What's the change you'd like to see in the world, and how can we bring it to life?
Okay, that's you're right, that was a big question. So I think it starts with consciousness, right? I think if we look at, we're on a spectrum whereby people are starting to be more conscious about the waste. If we go back 50 years ago, I don't think there was much consciousness around recycling and stuff like that. But we're on a journey. We've moved forward. We've got keep cups. You know, we're taking our own plastic bag. We're taking our own usable bags to the shops. We're on a journey, and I kind of look at it the way I kind of feel that we're still quite near the start of that. We're still quite near the start of that journey. I kind of use the analogy with smoking. You know, if you look back, you know, 20, 30 years with smoking, you know, you probably get people, you know, coming up at the kids' daycare smoking cigarettes, you know. And right now, if you saw that happen, you know, you'd
be horrified.
You'd be personally arrested, you know. You'd really, you know. So what happens is, so perceptions change over time. And I really don't think it's going to be too far down the track where we look at people with, you know, one-time plastics and you know plastic coffee cups and stuff like that, the same way that we now look at people who would go and pick up the kids smoking cigarettes in the daycare car park. I think that's the sort of way things are going. So the change in the world, I suppose, is to recognise that the environmental issues and preserving the planet is no longer just the bastion of the, you know, the air quotes, the greenies. It's actually something that we all need to participate in as part of our sort of daily lives, and that's definitely happening already. So it's to recognise that we're really on that journey, and that there's small things that we can do at a community at a household level and community level that can make a big difference. And so to get involved in that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you on that, Marty, particularly with, you know, everybody being a part of the solution. Like we've seen in these times through COVID-19 is that one thing that I had a big revelation over was, you know, what you do today affects my tomorrow. So you throw that thing in, you know, the gutter, it's going to end up in the waterways tomorrow. And we're all on this one planet. We've all got the same home. So we're in this together, I think, is the big thing. And absolutely applies to the work that you do as well.
Yeah, fantastic.
Thank you so much, Marty, for being a part of the Ethical Evolution. What's your website if people want to check you out and find out more?
Yeah, please do. We actually just upgraded our website. We put a bit of effort into it. So thanks, Ali, for that. It's www.matter.city. So if you want to check us out on that, and if you look up Matter Waste in most of the socials, you'll find us on that. So if you're listening and you're interested in what we're doing, please follow us on the socials and check out our website and get in touch.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Marty.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Bendy.
Thanks for listening to the Ethical Evolution podcast. If you're an ethical business owner, change maker, or holistic healer who's determined to make a change in the world and you need support to spread your message, visit ethicalchangeagency.com to collaborate.